You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
I have walked through hallways of the hotel late at
3 o'clock in the morning, you pick a bun.
If there's wings and fry, you get after it.
I don't go that far. Chicken is a no-guy for me.
Let's just say it depends on what state you're in when you're walking through the hallway.
That's true.
Anything could be up for grabs.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Tim Kirkchin of ESPN will join us in about a half an hour. The bringer of rain making his debut for the Tribe tonight, hitting in the five hole right behind Edwin Encarnacion down at the Trop tonight. The Tampa Bay Rays been sneaky good, man. They're going to win 90 games and not come close to a playoff spot. That's how crazy the American League has been. But we'll see
them
what Donaldson's got. Oakland.
Like, it's just.
It's got to make you feel good if you're a Blue Jay fan and you realize, like, Oakland has been out of it for a long time. You know, and Billy Beane's been running the operation, and they got a bad ballpark and bad ownership and not that big of a payroll.
And that's a gritty, gritty city.
Very gritty city. And the A's, you know, they're at 87 wins. They're going to win 97 games, and they'll be a wild card team because Houston's at 90 wins already. Like Boston, the Jays are in Fenway starting tonight. Boston is 2 wins away from 100
They've
wins.
They've got 98 wins.
98 and 46. They're 8 games up on the Yankees. Like, imagine being the Yankees. And you're going to be a wild card team. Now you're fighting it out with the Athletics. Like, the A's may end up with home field in the wild card if the Yankees let something slip here over the final few weeks. But the Yankees might win 100 games, and they're going to be like 8-10 games behind the Red Sox.
If you have a good season, you're right. You have a really good season. It doesn't matter.
That doesn't mean that much. You get one game.
Wow.
The Yankees and the Athletics could end up with 98 to 102 wins. You know, something like that,
yeah.
And be wild card teams. And one of them's going home after one game.
It is.
And then in the National League, someone's going to get in with like 85 wins. You know?
It is.
It's all cyclical. It comes and goes. But at this point, the American League has been money, like, so top heavy, and then everybody else seems to be brutal. And we all know what category the Blue Jays have been putting themselves in all year.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim Kirkchin will join us in about a half an hour. We had Danny Green in studio, man. It gets me fired up for the NBA season, knowing that the Raptors are back in town, and he's talking about their expectations. And
we've been pretty Leaf focused, just because that's how we are. But you're right; it should excite you, even though he was apprehensive. I mean, he's saying they're coming off a 59 win season.
Like, there's some pressure on a lot of pressure on the Raptors.
But if they get 50 plus, they're fine.
Yes,
it's not about getting 60-plus wins. What they need to do is go deep into the playoffs because LeBron is not standing there.
Mm-hmm. That's where the pressure starts.
That's
in mid-April.
Exactly.
They're making the playoffs.
Their
the
regular
East is
season
brutal,
is,
and the Raptors are good. Yeah.
They're going to be fine.
Exactly.
Just going to see how it comes together. Not every time it works, and you bring in a star player and a top five player in the league, you want to see how it all gels together.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody retweeted a tweet that ended up in my feed. I think it was somebody out of Ottawa that said, I will buy anybody who reads this tweet NBA live if Kawhi plays one game for the Raptors. It was when he was traded here. And people are starting to hold him to...
So what do you mean? Like thinking that Kawhi wasn't going to report?
Not a chance he plays for the Raptors. And now people are circling back on this guy. And it's been getting retweeted. And I don't know how it ended up in my feed.
What are the rules and regulations on that?
Well, like, there's no legal
document.
You just
close down your Twitter
dope
account.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. What do you expect me to pay?
Mm.
Yeah.
Joe Thomas had one. Was it Joe Thomas? There was someone in Cleveland that sent out... it was something to do with Cleveland. I don't remember what it was. It might have been, if Cleveland beats Golden State in the finals, I'll buy everybody a LeBron jersey. It was something like that. Everybody right. that retweets it. And it got retweeted like 400,000 times. And I guess the guy, you know, got off the hook because Cleveland didn't end up winning.
Still.
But you do see that a lot.
A couple sleepless nights there for people are holding your feet to the fire.
Well, I will say this about Cleveland in holding on to bets. If you're a public figure, I think you have more pressure on you to follow through.
Right.
And did you see that radio guy in Cleveland who made the proclamation before the NFL draft that if the Browns take Baker Mayfield, he will eat horse manure.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I guess he did it. I think it was yesterday he did it.
Ooh.
So he followed through on that.
Did he put it on bread?
Why? You could just say, I'm not doing it. I was joking around. What pressure do you have to own up to that?
Well,
eating crap.
If you make a bet, if
so
you make
what? It's not like you owe somebody money and you gotta, you know, stick by your word.
If it's a binding contract.
It's a stupid comment, a stupid remark. You have no need to follow through with eating horse crap.
I give him credit.
I
really.
I give him credit. I mean, listen, I'm.
He's
with
an
you.
Idiot for the bet and a bigger idiot for doing it, following up on it. It's not like you made some...
Yeah, but dude, it's all about publicity. Let's not forget about that. The guy's a radio show, radio host.
Oh, really? Exactly. So you would want it? You think it would be good for your career to go downtown in front of everybody, Maple Leaf Square, and eat a pile of...
If I was stupid enough to make some guarantee that the whole world heard about and then followed through on it,
yeah.
And then I decide, you know what, I'm going to let this linger for like 6 months and try to build up some anticipation.
Would you garnish it with anything?
What would you... If you had to eat... Horse crap, what would you put on it?
Well, I think Red Sot would be coming out for sure. There'd be something. I don't know. Dude, there isn't enough spice in the world to make that. It's a mental challenge.
I think you go mustard pickles. There's no other way around it.
What's that going to do?
I don't know. It's just...
What, do you shape it like a hot dog?
Mustard pickles. What are you talking about?
You got to put something on it. You can't just go in.
I don't know.
I don't think you put anything. You don't waste your time. You muck and you get out.
Is there ketchup on that?
Never know.
Never know. Malls is on fire today.
Malls has had a very good week so far.
Yeah, yes. What was the sound bite that he pulled out of nowhere yesterday?
Throw the shoe.
Yeah, who throws a shoe? It was the Austin Powers one.
Yeah, because we were talking about Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, and she threw a shoe, and he had the Austin Powers drop ready.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
We've had a couple of good... drops and bits that we've been doing the past couple of days.
I mean, what's better? I know exactly what you're going to say, but the LeBron is the number one. The never know comes in a distant second now to LeBron, I believe.
It's only Tuesday. I mean, for those of you that are not familiar with what we're talking about, should we be playing these two clips?
Sure.
Okay, because yesterday your voice, and actually it's improved drastically in 24 hours.
But I kept telling you guys, I don't know what it was. My voice got weaker, and it was fine when I could talk, but when I would start to talk, it was wavering.
Never know.
And that's what you said at some point during our Carlo Koliakovo conversation.
Oh, there was another
yesterday.
Couple comments that I wish we had have got, because he tried to, like, couple little comments, like, yeah. And he went, yeah.
I was trying. Lindy and he waved me off one time when I was trying to jump in on the conversation. Oh, just like...
I gave him the Heisman,
like,
said, no way, guy.
Don't go in. It's
yeah, you couldn't speak.
It.
Like, you lost your voice.
I was trying. I don't, you know...
And that was 6:45-ish. That was late in the show, late in the afternoon. And the You Never Know drop is now going to live...
For sure.
...on this show for a long, long time.
And it should.
Never know.
So, we're going to create a bit around that. But we played this audio earlier, Pierre LeBrun, who was on Leafs Lunch. Now, I think it's a reasonable explanation. He gives the explanation. He doesn't laugh. He doesn't, you know, he's on the phone. You have a feeling that it may not actually be what he's claiming it to be.
I believe it's a chili cheese dog.
I believe he's a man of integrity, and I do believe that he's a self-deprecating guy. We all know, we all love Pierre.
Septic.
Well, that's a Freudian slip. But I think he would have just owned it if it was the real deal Holyfield.
Yeah.
But... He was on with Andy and Gordo and MJ earlier today on Leafs Lunch, and this is what went down.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
Are you drilling something? Are you doing some renovations?
My chair needs oil.
Wow, does it ever?
Does it ever?
I think that is a legit movement of an old school.
I need it one more time to make.
I think it touched cloth. I think something touched cloth there.
That's your professional diagnosis of what went down?
One more time and I'm making an honest assessment.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
It's the second one that makes it not believable.
The second one feels like a double down. Like you, I think, Brian, you said, like,
It was a mute malfunction.
It's a mute gone wrong. Like he pressed the volume by accident instead of the mute.
A mute malfunction.
Because the second one, he wants to get it over with and be able to move on.
Like there's a
out of that escrow pool.
There is a vein popping out of his forehead for the second one.
Out of that escrow pool.
If he's on a double ender.
A double ender.
If they're on a double ender camera talking to him and he's doubling down, the facial, I mean, you'll know by the facial expression.
Chair, man, I'm telling you, because
I hope so too.
He would own it. You know, he didn't even flinch. He was like, "This is what's going on."
Didn't he burp on air last year to like start the season?
No, that was 2 years ago. That was when we first moved to 4 o'clock. What, like 15 minutes into the new time slot?
The first show,
Barney Gumble just has himself a bit of an internal incident. But no, I think it was just
it's
you're moving around the place. We've all done phoners, you know.
No, it's.
Do you have that first episode? Sideshow of the burp?
Oh, side burp.
Well, that's a
wasn't
long
even
time
a
ago.
Side burp.
It was our very first episode.
I think it was
at 4 o'clock.
It was Overdrive. Yeah, so that's 3 years ago or two?
It'll be three years this February, I guess.
February.
So it was like a new, like our introduction to a new time slot, new audience.
Yeah.
Barney Gumble.
Side burp
and
15
the boys.
Minutes in.
Anyway, there is some hockey news pertaining to the Leafs. We had our organizational draft in the previous hour, and why don't we run through our list, because it's an interesting one. We do this every year. We do our Maple Leaf organizational draft based on importance. That's been the past couple of years.
This year we run through the picks.
Yeah, this year we put a different spin on it though. Who has the most pressure on them in the organization going into a new season? You can pick executives, coaches, players. MJ was in here for it, so it went Johnny, first pick, then O, then Noodles, then me. We did two rounds. Run through what ended up going down.
Johnny with the first pick, he picked Mike Babcock. I was second. I picked John Tavares. Noodles had a hybrid two-pack for the third pick. Freddie Anderson and the goaltending coach, Steve Briere. At number four, Brian Hayes took Austin Matthews. And then doubled back at number five and took Kyle Dubas.
Mm-hmm.
At number six, Noodles took Nazem Kadri. How's he going to deal with maybe less ice time, less opportunity?
Yeah.
At number seven, I took Jake Gardner. And at number eight,
Took Mitch Marner.
Took Mitch Marner, yes.
And there were a couple throw-ins. Zaitsev went
at kind of number 10/9, and I picked the wingers for the Maple Leafs.
Right.
Guys that kind of have, the Pittsburgh situation.
Young kids. Who's going to be the Sheary?
Yeah.
Who's going to,
Were you guys surprised Johnny took Babcock at number one?
No. I've said this to you. I don't know if it was on air or off air, Brian. This is where he makes his money.
Yeah. What happened right after the season last year?
Well,
flew down to Arizona, talking to the Golden Boy, trying to figure out what's up.
They've tried
to determine the actual meaning behind it, and they're pushing that it's not worth the time to debate over what was going on. They're all on the same page, but I'm not sure I believe that.
You don't have to love your coach, but you have to respect him, and I think that's what the players do. You know, I loved a lot of my coaches after I worked with them, not during, but Mike Babcock is getting paid a lot of money. Now he's been placed, and I think he's a big part of it too, to shape a team that they feel that can have success. Now he's got to get these, they can't be 28th in shots against.
That's where it comes down to, for me, why I think he's got the most pressure on him. Because the expectations are through the roof.
Right.
You know, if they get off to a slow start, what's going on? Why isn't Babcock, why doesn't he have them prepared to play?
Right.
If there's any type of friction that is believed to be there or confirmed to be there, he's the guy that's got to, you know, he speaks for the team. He talks every single day. But I think the defensive side of things, this team should be able to score in their sleep.
Yeah.
It is pro sports. You still got to go out there and do it. But everyone thought coming into this season the Yankees would score a million runs. That's exactly what they've done. The question was, could they pitch? Could they defend? Could they stay disciplined? It's worked out for the Yankees.
Right.
Everyone expects the Leafs to be a top five offense in the league. You don't have to be number one, but they're going to be somewhere in the top five or top seven. They're loaded. Can the highest paid coach in the league get them to defend? Can they win 2-1 games?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can. I mean, that's the truth. I don't know if they can.
Well,
and it's on Babcock to find the right system, get them to buy in. Because if they're thinking that it's Harlem Globetrotters every night and look at all this offense and we all got to get our cookies and we want to win 7-5 every evening, you're in trouble.
Johnny talked about it in his segment here in the 5 o'clock hour. You can't teach a guy to score goals. It's a God-given gift. You can't teach it. You can either do it. But killing penalties, playing defense, being responsible in your own end, that is where the coaching element is involved with a hockey team. It's plain and simple.
And lost in all of this, too, is managing the players. Now, this group doesn't seem like there's a lot of big egos, but there's some young kids starting to come into their own. And we all know, I don't know if you were like that. At some point in our careers, we were ahead of ourselves mentally as far as, hey, I'm bigger, I'm larger than life, I'm indestructible. And you got to play within a team's structure. So there's going to be a night where Babcock doesn't like what he's seen from player X because this guy's trying too much, or he's not buying into this, trying too much offensively, or not buying into the system, and he's going to have to smack him down a little bit. Now, he's done it in small doses on guys like Nylander, Marner. He's moved around the lineup. But if he doesn't like what he sees from Austin Matthews, he's got other options because he's got JT.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Nazem. Is he going to have the pushback to do that? Is he going to, like you guys were talking about last hour, if the chemistry isn't there with Marner and JT, is he going to move Marner around? And how is that going to be recepted?
How will it be received? How will people... I mean, ultimately, it shouldn't matter, but this is a different beast. This is Toronto we're talking about.
You're managing personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny Green was talking about how Pop, you know, the guys loved him. Yeah, he's a hard ass, but... you know, he was engaged in everyone's life. And I think that's where Mike Babcock is going to be on the clock, because he's a great coach and he's getting paid a lot of money.
But it's time to put up or shut up.
This team has to deliver in certain areas. And 28th in shots against in the National Hockey League is something I'm guaranteed they circled and said, we've got to be, at worst,
middle of
the pack.
And his playoff record became an everyday conversation last year. Now, when they were down 3-1, a lot of articles were being written. When was the last time he went around?
Yeah.
When was the last time? And this is the most talented team he's had since Detroit. You know, like when he won, they don't have a Lidstrom here, but they might have a Datsyuk, Zetterberg. You know, they're loaded with talent. You know, they got a lot of talent here. So the expectations are going to be high. We all know that. And it's not his first rodeo, though, either, man.
No,
like, Babcock has handled this before, and he's going to be confident, and he's going to have a plan. And, you know, I think at the very least with him at the helm, you don't expect all hell to break loose.
Yeah, no. It's not his first rodeo with ultra-talented teams. Those Team Canada teams, it's not like they were blowing people out of the water. They were winning games 2-1.
He kept them in check.
But
it's a two-week,
two-and-a-half-week tournament. And
the whole world is watching. Right. You're lucky to be on the team. You know, it's obviously different when you're getting paid.
I remember talking to Carey Price about it right when he got back. And I said, did you know the pressure was on from across the ocean? Because I said, did you check your Twitter? He said, no, actually, I was removed from it. But he goes, you got the sense that it was there. Like, you could feel it. Just because if you're talking to families or anything, you know that everyone's watching. But they were so far removed, and they did a good job of just locking it down, and that team was ultra-talented. They deserved to win.
Mm-hmm.
But they won in a... would you call that an unconventional way?
Well, based on the star
power. Based on the tower. Yeah, you know. Based on the power.
Well, and who was the GM of that team? Stevie Yzerman. And remember how shook he was? That was the Marty St. Louis.
Yeah.
Stamkos is injured. Is he going to be on the team routine?
Mm-hmm. He's had to make some hard decisions.
Yeah, but everything's worked out for Yzerman, and now he stepped aside. I mean, if you missed out on this news, came out of left field. He's not the GM in Tampa anymore.
Do we have any of his comments?
I was reading some in the break. He talked about family. Talked about how they...
it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, apparently.
He's looking for sound.
Yeah, why are we going to play? It's an out-of-market, you know. Listen, he said he's committed to the year. He won't talk about what he's doing beyond this year, which sets my radar off that he's got some sort of plan. And somehow, maybe the owner sniffed it out and went to him. And that's what I would love to know, and we're not going to know it. But who was the one that triggered this? Was it Yzerman? Was it the owner who went to him and said, all right, let's talk about that contract extension? And he said, no, I don't want that. And then the owner was like, well, why would you not want it? Like, what else do you have planned?
Right.
Are you fully committed to being here? Because I think he's only got another year on his deal. He won't talk about what he's doing beyond this year. Something happened.
Well, something triggered this. A lot of the talk on Twitter is from our insiders and everybody that family is a big reason for this. He's been commuting back and forth from Detroit and Tampa, and apparently he wants to be closer to home. He's going back to Detroit.
Well, that just happens to be a team that could probably use, you know, maybe some fresh blood, some fresh eyes.
He got his start there, and Ken Holland has 1 year left on his deal. Coincidentally, Stevie Eiserman has one year left on his deal. If Ken Holland wants to go west, where
to
his
Seattle.
Roots are, mm-hmm. Ken Holland spends his off season in BC. Maybe there is a tie. I mean, this is conspiracy theory, but why not?
I don't think it's too far-fetched.
No.
I mean, Eiserman, if he wants another job, he's getting another gig. The guy's done a very good job. He hasn't won a cup, but he's put everything together that would lead to one.
That's why he's...
Won a gig. People would fire their GM for him in 2 seconds.
But that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
If he ends up seeing this through, he probably thinks this is their best opportunity to try and win a cup, too. The team they've assembled down there. They're one of the five or six.
Do you think Carlson to Tampa is still a possibility?
I think so. You talk about weaving magic. Like, by all accounts, again, talking to hockey people, Julien Brisebois is a lot of times been, you know, kind of the, I wouldn't say the brains behind it because Stevie Eiserman is a really sharp guy. But when you have two sharp guys, it's like Jim Neal in Detroit. Everyone knew that Jim Neal was a really smart hockey man.
How's that worked out in Dallas?
Well, listen, he's had his struggles. But, you know, he inherited some stuff, and then some stuff has been on his own. Now,
look at Matt Patricia last night. When you're always the guy that everyone loves when you got the king in front of you.
Right.
You know, Belichick, everyone loved Patricia. And then it's one game, but that was embarrassing in Detroit last night. Makes you realize why Josh McDaniels was this close to taking the Colts job and said, you know what? I'm going to go hide behind that shield again, because if you're with Belichick, you're winning, and then everyone's going to love you, and another job's going to open up. It's dangerous, man, when you're the man.
Yep.
You know, like it's one, because when you've got a good team, like Paul Fenton finally got that gig in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But he's been the assistant in Nashville forever.
Yeah.
He's obviously had a big voice. He's been, he's played a role.
Yep.
But now, there's no more.
You're on the clock.
You're, exactly.
And you're not, if you're making moves behind the scenes, it's somebody else taking bullets for those moves.
Exactly. Because some of them went wrong.
Right.
Brisebois, at some point in the past 5 years, has suggested something where they're like, dude, that would have been brutal. Or they did it and it didn't go well.
It's the same as Kyle Dubas this year. He's been sitting behind Lou.
It's on him
looking
now.
Care of looking after the Marlies, and now it's all on him. It's his team.
Yeah. And now he has the right people around him as far as sounding boards. Shanny's a great sounding board. I'm sure his fingers are all over everything. But Kyle Dubas at some point in his tenure is going to make a mistake. Every general manager does. There's not a manager out there that hasn't made one mistake or doesn't who wants one do-over on a contract or a trade. This is the big stage for Kyle, and I think he's a methodical guy. And who knows what the mistake's going to be. He'll
right,
have to look back and
this is the more optimal position to be in for a new GM, because what you can look towards doing is do what Brian McClellan just did in Washington. Took over when the team was stacked.
Right.
Made some moves. They win a cup. He's the GM.
Stan Bowman did that in Chicago.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot easier to do that than to go for the team that's a dumpster fire and it's like, man, I got to build this thing up.
Yeah.
You know, because... But you're the GM of the team that wins the cup. You get that credit.
But Kyle's been a part of that building.
Of the building. No question. But I'm just saying, like, Dubas could have gone somewhere else by all accounts.
Yeah, he could have gone to Colorado.
Sounds like it,
yeah.
Tim Kirkjian of ESPN will join us. Donaldson playing tonight down at the Trop. Why are they deciding to play him on that turf? Should they maybe have shielded him? What do we expect out of Donaldson? What's the latest on Marcus Stroman? And the Jays at Fenway tonight. We'll look ahead to that matchup with Tim. He will join us next. Overdrive continues up on TSN2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, TSN1050.ca. And subscribe and check us out on iTunes. Don't forget, the first ever TSN 1050 Up Close and Unfiltered is coming to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So go to tsn1050.ca. Only 150 tickets are available. At 10 a.m. tomorrow it opens, tsn1050.ca. All of the hosts of all the 1050 shows are going to be at the Hall of Fame September 25th. We've got a special guest, a very cool special guest that will be joining us around the table. And it's going to be an awesome night. So tickets go on sale tomorrow. Jays are at Fenway tonight. The Bringer of Rain is in the lineup for the Tribe down at the Trop. And to chat about that, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, we're joined now by ESPN MLB insider and analyst, back on Overdrive, Tim Kirkchin. How you doing, Tim?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're looking forward to seeing what Donaldson's got in store tonight. And our colleague here on TSN Radio brought up an interesting point. This is a guy who has serious lower body issues, and he's making his debut at the Trop, playing third base. Are you surprised that Terry Francona and the Tribe would put him out there, considering the turf?
The turf is not easy there. Not easy for Evan Longoria when he used to play there. But no, I'm not surprised. They have to find out as quickly as possible exactly what Josh Donaldson has left as they move forward to the playoffs. They have big, big decisions to make here, because even though I think this was a really good move by the Indians, a risky one, but one worth the risk, they have to find out exactly how well he can move, how well he can swing the bat, because obviously they're disrupting a portion of their club to make room for him, which is the right thing to do if he's anything close to the Josh Donaldson who won the MVP a few years ago. But they have to find out right away, and they might as well find out on difficult turf whether he can make that play to his left or his right or coming in or going back, and see how he swings the bat. So they need to know now, and that's why they're not wasting any time.
Tim, you're talking to baseball people every day. Have you caught any wind of what people are saying, that this just is unlikely to happen, or you hear positive things coming out of Cleveland with Josh Donaldson? Because this year has been a write-off, and I can't see him staying healthy.
Yeah, I talk to people, and again, it's both ways on this. Half the people say, why not give him a try to see if it works? And the other half say, look, he hasn't played since May. He's had 2 years of injuries, a third baseman with a calf injury and with shoulder issues from the spring. That's a bad combination. But I repeat, this is, when you haven't won the World Series in 70 years, this is worth a try. And the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work. And they put Ramirez back at third, Kipnis back at second, they figure out center field, and they go from there. But if it does work, and miraculously he is absolutely enthused in every way about being in a pennant race, and he starts to swing it, suddenly this team has another really good player.
With Tim Kirkchin of ESPN, again, Josh Donaldson making his debut tonight. He will play third, hit in the five spot, right behind Edwin Encarnacion. So bit of, you know, somewhat of deja vu for Jays fans, although it used to be reversed. Usually Donaldson would protect Edwin. But in terms of his contract, if he gets healthy, if he performs down the stretch and performs into the playoffs, do you believe there will be multi-year contract offers for Donaldson this winter?
Well, multi would imply two. So, yes, it's possible he'll get a two-year deal, but you guys know this from our last free agency, last winter, how everything changed. And when you get to that early 30s range, unless you're a great player with a tremendous track record and a great record of durability, you're just not getting 4 and 5 years like you did, say, 3 or 4 years ago. The rules have changed, and these young, really smart, you know, cutthroat, and I mean that in a good way, general managers are saying, hey, we know what the value is. We have sabermetrics to help us with this, and I don't think Josh Donaldson at the moment fits into that box where, yeah, they're going to give him a four-year deal. So maybe he gets a two-year deal, but you guys are right. This all depends how the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 6 weeks go. He could make himself a lot of money if he shows everybody that he's healthy and can really lift the team. Otherwise, if he goes in injured, he's going to have trouble getting any sort of meaningful contract.
The shift in the contracts that you just mentioned, would you put Bryce Harper into that category? I mean, everyone was talking about what he could sign for $400 million, $500 million? Should his expectations going into the offseason be, tempered as well?
Well, he's in a different category because he's 25 with a great track record. So he's in a different category. However, he's not getting $500 million. He's not getting $400 million. I'm pretty sure about that. And, yes, that value has dropped based on the season his team and he has had this year. Plus, the free agency system has changed, but not for truly, truly impact players who you can sign for 5 years and they're still 30 years old at the end of the deal. That's the key. So I think he's lost some money, certainly, but he's going to get paid a lot of money from somebody when this season's over.
With Tim Kirkchin of ESPN, shifting gears here to the Blue Jays, it's been a very difficult year. The management has come out and they've admitted that they're looking towards the future. They're hoping to be competitive in the next 2 or 3 years. We all know about the kids they've got coming and the potential for a potent offense in 2 or 3 years. It's the pitching staff that concerns me. And we've had these conversations with Ross Atkins and we've heard Shapiro talk about it. And I think a big problem is what we've seen this year out of two guys who we thought were staples in the rotation, that being Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez. Sanchez effectively has had two throwaway seasons now, and Stroman has pretty much been shut down for the rest of the year, and his numbers have been bloated, and he had injury problems as well. How much faith do you have, compared to where it would have been 2 or 3 years ago, that Stroman and Sanchez can be pillars for this Blue Jay rotation for the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I don't nearly have the confidence that I did several years ago. And you guys also know this. The common denominator of every great pitcher in Major League history is they take the ball every fifth or fourth day in the old days and go take their turn. And not many guys can do that today, but these guys on the Blue Jays, the two we're talking about, simply haven't been able to do that. And if you can't take the ball because of injuries, then you just can't be counted on. You can't be considered reliable. And even though Sanchez's stuff is still really good, and I still think has a chance to be a great major league pitcher, if you can't go out there for whatever reason, whether it's a blister or something else, that's not going to help your case. And I don't think a team can count on two guys like that. So they're going to have to look in that free agent market. They're going to have to look from within. They're going to have to look to make deals because I just don't think you can count on guys who aren't, at least at this point in their young careers, durable enough to handle those roles.
They're likely going to have to look for a new manager come the offseason. Everyone knows that this is a divorce in the making. Gibbons is going to move on, regardless of who wants it more. It's more than likely going to happen. Do you have any idea, any inkling, have you heard anything on who the Jays might be trying to target as their next manager?
Well, our pal Steve Phillips, one of my dear friends, said today that Mike Matheny was the top choice. Now, he's just speculating on his radio show today, and that certainly makes some sense. Mike Matheny has had some great success. He understands the Blue Jays. He did very well overall as the manager of the Cardinals. So I think we have to consider Mike Matheny for sure. And selfishly, or whatever the word is, I work with David Ross, and he fits the new template for what you're looking for in a manager. Young, communicative, can talk to anybody, played the game and played it recently. And to me, there's a chance at least he could fit into the A.J. Hinch, Aaron Boone, Alex Cora kind of category. And I think he would be somebody that the Blue Jays would have to look at. Those are just two names. There are more out there, I'm sure, and we'll be hearing a lot more names before long.
Well, the one thing different about that is the team he's going to. I think Aaron Boone and Cora going to those two teams, they were liking what they were seeing on paper.
Right. Well, that goes without saying. But I must say, I did speak to an executive yesterday. I was just talking to him, and he said, that Toronto job is a good job with those kids coming. Now, maybe he's comparing it to some of the other jobs that might come open, these teams that are really struggling, like Baltimore, who doesn't have much coming along, and compared it to that. But it's an interesting job, to say the least. But you're right. It's not taking over the Red Sox or the Yankees. Not even close.
That wasn't Mark Shapiro you were talking to, was it, Tim? Or
no.
No, it wasn't. Okay. Where do you stand on the idea that it might be in the Blue Jays' best interest to have a bilingual manager, specifically with Vladdy?
I certainly understand that, and that is, again, part of where we're going in the big leagues today. The crusty old veteran guy who says, here's how we did it in my day, that guy doesn't get too many jobs anymore, and if you're bilingual like Alex Cora is, that's a real bonus. So I think, yes, they should look that way, but if the best manager... I don't think the best manager is not going to get the job if he's not bilingual. But this is what every team is looking into today. How do we get through to these players? How do we get them ready for a game? And if Vladdy Jr. and others don't speak the language very well, but the manager does and can help them, yes, that's a no doubt. That's a plus.
Always great having you on the show. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Tim.
All right, guys. See you later.
There's Tim Kirkchen, ESPN MLB analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 Clearout event, where you can get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Well, that's interesting that, you know, executives throughout the league that are saying if you're an up-and-coming manager, it could be worse. You know, they need to find a staff. But if Vladdy's coming up, that's a good guy to start with at the very least.
Well, where is the Blue Jays farm system? I thought it was ranked top five.
It is. For a lot of different publications, it's 2, 3, 4 right. In that range.
So if you're a guy who's in any sport looking and saying, that's where I want to be for the next 5 years, if you believe you can help turn that around.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad...
No, it's not. And the pressure is going to be pretty minimal when whoever it is, because right. Everyone knows... Next year's going to be a tough year. They're not winning anything next year. That's a difficult bullet to bite, but you know it coming in. You're not expected to win. Now, if you do, amazing, but nobody's expecting that out of you. So you've got a grace period. You know, unlike Cora and Boone, Aaron Boone, you talk about the pressure that he had, rolls into New York out of the broadcast booth and is immediately expected to win. Now, it's worked for him.
Right.
And Cora, the same thing in Boston. But if those two teams ended up with like 78 wins or something, they'd be fired their first year. They'd be fired immediately.
I thought Gabe Kapler was going to get fired after a week.
Me too.
He was getting game one. He got getting booed
in the introductions.
The introduction of Gabe Kapler, he got booed in Philly.
He went out and grabbed the ball from a pitcher, and there was no one warming up.
It was a tough look for Gabe early on.
No one warming up. He was standing out there with the ball.
Yeah,
they should have made him pitch.
That's a mute malfunction. Someone hit mute on Gabe. Anyway, we'll see. You know, the Jays, they're at Fenway tonight. The games are obviously meaningless, but some of the kids have looked good. Billy McKinney's looked really good. Roddy Tellis has been outstanding. You know, these are kids. I don't know how much stake you put into it. It's September.
Right.
You know, how much truth is it? What's it going to carry over to? I don't know. But I think they've got reasons for optimism in terms of the, you know, the diamond and
we've
the offense.
We've seen it a million times. Kids come up when there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And it's just,
no, there's only so much you can say about it.
They're the only guys that are in before curfew, and they're lighting it up like it's...
Yeah.
You want guys under the gun that can get the job done. It doesn't...
There's no gun here. There's no pressure. Nothing. There's nothing. So, you know, we'll see what it means down the line, but shout out to Tim Kirkchen for joining us. We appreciate that. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Fading Baltimore tonight, the Athletics in Baltimore. Over the number in the Indians-Rays game tonight, I think the bringer of rain shows up, goes off. And Boston home plus over the Jays. Throw down 20, you can score 52. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
You think Boston's the best. A lock?
Yeah, I think Boston's probably a lock tonight. I mean, it's Chris Sale up against Ryan Barucki. Shout out to Barucki, but Chris Sale, I think he's probably going to mow some Jays down tonight. He'll be comfortable.
I want nothing but the best for Josh Donaldson, but I have a difficult time seeing him like finishing a game.
You don't think he'll get through the game tonight?
I'm
dead arm?
I think he.
I don't know.
I think just, he gets through and he. A little rusty.
And I hope he does. He was one of my. He's my favorite Blue Jay. Even in the past, the World Series teams, Joe Carter, Kelly Gruber, Dave Steeb, Tom Hankey, Pat Borders, Ernie Witt.
Keep naming more Jays.
Like, those guys were famous, but he was my favorite Blue Jay.
No, he was a beast, man. He won an MVP.
My favorite Blue Jay.
You got him going 1-for-4 tonight?
Yeah.
It sounds about right.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Never know.
2-for-5.
2-for-5. 2-for-5
tonight. Yeah, I think he gets up there. I think they're going to rake tonight. I think they're going to go around the order a few times. Don't forget the 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is quickly approaching September 29th at Woodbine. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. Great cause. Great event. Shout out.
Are we playing again this year? We're on the squad?
No, I think we've been demoted. I think now that Carlo's in, I think it's Koliakovo and Landsberg and first up and that whole crew, I think. But
well, let's hope.
I don't know.
I'm
last year we had a great time. You didn't play because you had the back issues, I think. Last year, right?
We drove around in the...
We had an incident with the garbage truck.
Yeah, we drove around in the garbage truck. It was fun.
You had a good time?
It. It was hot. Great time. It was
hot. So hot.
It was really, really outrageously hot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
It was Pierre LeBrun office hot.
Yes. Yeah, shout out to our main man, Pierre LeBrun.
Yeah, he's not going to want to come on our show.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering, is when he's is he ever just going to put us in the blacklist and be like, forget you guys.
No,
I support his explanation.
You said that it was a chair.
From the first second I heard it, I said he's moving his chair around.
Oh, really? Why were you crying laughing in commercial break when we were talking about
it? I think it could
because
have
of
been.
The possibilities.
I think it could have been. I think chair, but maybe a mute gone wrong, and you just think that he was just pushing one out.
All I could think of was chili cheese dogs. Like late night street meat.
Out of that escrow pool. Mute malfunction. It's one of my favorite sayings. What happened there?
Mute malfunction is a dangerous thing.
It is.
You can lose a career over a mute malfunction.
It is.
Anyway.
There is one positive, though. We can talk about Pierre LeBrun tomorrow, break down JD's comeback with the Indians. Mm-hmm.
Jerry's, Ray's coming up tomorrow.
Oh, and a Jerry's, and we're going to fire it all up.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.